Hello, my sweet summer children. This is E.
And this is Amy.
We are so happy to have you here for an episode of Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. We are going to take some time today to highlight five of our most downloaded cases in the last 3 to 4 months. It was supposed to be a first quarter roundup, but we're like not halfway through the year, but we're also more than a quarter through the year. So that's where we are, but it's going to be a bundle of fun. It's going to be a bundle of fun. 2024. Wow. Another year. Are you ready, Amy? Are you feeling scared, hopeful, skeptical?
A full range of emotions, suspicious, as always. Everything. All the feelings, all the emotions. It's always interesting for me to look back through the old cases and episodes because sometimes I forget that we covered them, or sometimes it's one we've talked about more afterwards. So I'm excited to talk about it. But do you have a show and tell for us today?
Yes. Okay, so my show and tell for the day is pretty niche. It is, but also not. It doesn't have to be. So they're mini brands make it kits. And I'm not normally a fan of things, but these are tiny, tiny things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make them because they're mini brands make it. And they're resin kits. And they have mini brand books. They have mini brands. So Aurora has like a small Baby Bell and then a different one and then like a small, Mootopia, milk carton, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
She loves to get them for her Barbies. It was my niece's birthday last year, or maybe it was for Christmas. She was really into the mini brands, and she is the one who told me about the mini brand make it kits. Specifically, those are the ones that I'm personally a huge fan of. I do want to try out the books because I think they're cute, but that's more like stuff, whereas with the mini brands, Aurora's obsessed with anything that's like tiny that she can make like happy birthday parties with her kids. And they also, for this mini brand make it kit, they have like niche things. They have plants. So you can do like tiny plants to decorate your desk with. So adorable. Mm-hmm. And so they have like little household things like that. Then they also have different foods and stuff. I've seen people display them in different cases. They're fun to do. And I like to do one with Aurora, give them to her, or I have one up there. It's a plant that I ended up getting for Aurora for Christmas. But then Aurora wasn't excited and she had so many presents, which is, this is also a hot tip. Sometimes I hide presents. Sometimes if my child gets so many gifts that they didn't open certain ones, sometimes those certain ones, they just might not be around once we have cleaned. They might go upstairs to the like surprise closet to be used on a rainy day. I'm not saying that I'm like regifting them to other kids or anything. I'm regifting them to my own.
Regift them to another kid. Who the fuck cares?
Sometimes I do that too.
Yeah, not if she's, I mean, if she's like germed on it, then no, but like,
exactly.
Why not?
And if she's excited about it or if she ever asks about it again, I obviously am like, oh yeah, I just put that up for you. Sorry, baby, you had so many toys. It didn't seem like you were excited about this one, so I put it up for a different time when you were going to be more excited, like right now. Like literally right the second. Anyways, so the mini brand make it kits, you got to try it.
You make like food or like different, there's like different categories, but it's like basically like dollhouse sized items.
Yes. And they're resin kits too. So they come with like a mini resin thing. Yes. And they're so cute because they're like in sunny days things. So for instance, we just made sugar cookies and it came with a baking board and then it came with the 6 sugar cookies and then it came with the individual frosting, which was the resin, but it was in a pink frosting container had like a little sun on it. And it said sunny days, pink frosting and super cute font, right? And then it came with a little mini sprinkle set, and I let her keep the mini sprinkles. Now, I could resin shut the icing now that I think about it and allow her to keep the icing, but that stuff, the resin, I throw away afterwards.
Well, right, because you don't want that laying around if you're not using it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But everything else, and then when we did an ice cream cone one, a Rocky Road one, and the ice cream scoops came in a Rocky Road Sunny Days container. Like, shut the fuck up, right?
Yeah, it's very cute.
And the marshmallows came, and now some of them you have to, like, rip open. So the chocolate bars container you had to rip open, and I didn't love that because now that's trash, you know?
Right.
Once it's ripped, it's trash. So, but half the things you can also keep. And, the cookies also came with, like, a sheet to put it on afterwards with, like, a little thing. So it comes with...
okay. So, like, all the stuffs that goes with whatever the activity is. That's cool.
And, yes, they're mini. It's niche, but also I think they're adorable. They're fun. You could let your inner child out, or you could, you know, do them with your own kids. I feel like this is great for anybody age 4 to, like, 1,000,005. You know, to alien age. I feel like aliens would be fine with it. I feel like aliens could get down with
them. Sure, they could get. I mean, it's such a good little example of how to do things. Hayden got really into these. Not the resin. I didn't know about the make it stuff. But
they're
new. There's like a whole store that like
has
shelves and all kinds of things. But
my niece has one of those too. But then, of course, once I had already bought her stuff that for that Christmas, that's when she was like, no, Tia, the make-its are it. And I'm like, oh.
Next year, my friend, hope they're still in.
No, I just got her like 3 or 4 individual ones of those. Yeah, so that way, to add to it. But anyway.
But if this tells you any difference between like your house and my house, my kids also discovered the gross minis. Which is like disgusting. So we do have a bunch of those.
What?
It's like food with like bugs in it and like there's
that
like
does seem like gum
with like teeth in it. It's like so gross. But it reminds me of like the Garbage Pail Kids. Do you remember those when we were little? Like the cards, but these are like things. But it's the same concept.
They really like the ugly dolls too, right?
Anything gross and weird, they're super into because they're weird. But, yeah, I love it. I think it's a cute – I was anti-mini anything because who needs more mini stuff? But now that she's older, she, like, displays it. And, like, she puts
it
out.
It's so
cute.
Yes. Aurora will put it on her, like, little shelves or the parties that she sets up for her Barbies.
I love that.
Are so cute. Okay, we're ready to move on to the cases, I think.
Yes, let's go
get to criming
it. So we got 5, count them, 5 cases, and these are our most downloaded cases of the beginning of the year. So technically the first quarter, but cut us some slack because we're tired and it's actually now into the second quarter, and that's fine. And I don't really know. I feel like quarters are hard for me. It's May. Like, what the hell? So, all right. So the first one is the back and forth of Krista Pike. And we had a lot of people talking about different things with this case. And so if you did not hear this episode, here is a little snip. Krista Gail Pike was an American convicted murderer, and she was the youngest woman to be sentenced to death in the United States. She was 20 when she convicted the torture murder of her classmate, Colleen Slemmer, which she committed at age 18. She thought that old girl Colleen was a threat to her relationship, and that was the motive behind the whole crime. The biggest things that stick out to me in this case are how back and forth she was with whether or not she wanted to be sentenced to death and whether it was unconstitutional, whether she wanted to serve her entire sentence or try to have it reduced. It was just a case, and she was the most finicky murderer that I feel like we've ever covered. on the podcast. So
and it's just so fucked up. I can't get over that she like carried around somebody's skull. What is wrong with you?
Well, come on. It wasn't her whole skull. It was just a piece of it.
Just a little bit, you know.
Just a little chunk.
Just the tip.
Just the corner of the skull.
There you go.
Yeah, which she did. So if you haven't listened to that episode, and it's also so, like, mind-blowing to me. She convinced a bunch of people to, like, be in on this murder. I don't know. You'd have to really tell me some things to be, like, jumping in on your murder with you. Because that girl had no beef with anybody else but Krista Pike.
Well, and I think it was all over some boy, too. I feel like she...
always is.
No? Yeah, that there was just some... It was just some competition between her and another girl over another stupid little boy and their class. Because these... Right. I mean, these were the youths. 20 years old.
Yeah, these kids were a little older because they were in a Job Corps program, which is like basically for kids that don't finish high school, or in attempts to have them finish high school. And she had kind of a rough life, but we will link the case if you haven't listened to it. It was one of our most listened to episodes and probably one of our most talked about episodes, to be honest.
Okay, so we're moving on to the case of the missing men. Yeah?
Yes.
Jeremy. No, Jeremy spells his name wrong. I'm sorry. It is J-E-R-A-M-Y. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Burt, he was 33. He went missing after leaving his dad's house on February 11th in 2007. He was en route to a friend's home. He never made it there. He was a Navy service member. He had a daughter who he loved. He was super infatuated with her. The most that they say, like the biggest thing they continue to say over and over about him is that he wrote his daughter a poem when she was born. His mother swears up and down he would have never left his daughter because she was his entire world.
And this case is also tied to another missing person by the name of Aaron Bernard, who went missing on December 4th of 2004 at the age of 35. And he left behind his mother, his two children, possibly a third child that may or may not exist. And the last time his mom spoke to her son, he was in a good mood. He was eating macaroni and cheese. He was like hanging out at his house. And a lot of people say that the disappearances are linked because they knew each other and went missing from the same area 3 years apart. One theory that's floating around is that it was a hired hitman that took them out. But what's the motive?
I just don't feel like hitmen are real. I understand that they are. I just feel like they're fictional. That's fake news.
I think like an actual, like my career as a hitman, like that is not real. Like that's not a real thing. But also, I don't ever feel like being a hitman like ends well for anybody. Like you don't, when we read about cases where like a hitman was hired, it doesn't ever go well. So.
Maybe they should do more book learning and less hitmaning so they can make sure they know the laws.
More law reading. And
or like surveillance or like forensics or whatever.
Speaking of law reading, I believe that Jeremy and Aaron were both like either in law school or had something to do with the judicial system.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay, next, Eric Cross. He was 16. He went to a party one evening. He was seen leaving that party at 1 a.m. Sadly, his dad found him dead on his driveway the next morning. It seemed that he had been killed and drugged by a car. It's been 40 years. We still have no idea what happened or really even how he died. There's all the – you have to go and listen – to the whole, I mean, with all of these, obviously we're going to say, go and listen, but really this one tugs at the heartstrings. His father finding him, absolute nightmares.
Like, not just finding him, but like walking out to get the paper from the mailbox, because at that time, people still delivered paper to the mailbox. And you just like walk out and your son is just like dead in your driveway. Like, it's just, it's heartbreaking. It's awful. And it's been, I mean, it's been a long, 40 years. This case happened 40 years ago, and we're still, and nobody came forward. Like, nobody said anything on their deathbed or like nothing. I don't know. It was a very hard case to cover, but again, it's one of the mysteries where there's truly only speculating. There's nothing else for you to do. Our next case is a bestie hike gone wrong. This is another one where the evidence in this case is super eerie. So it was in 2014. They were two women from the Netherlands. They were 22 and 21, Chris Kremers and Leanne Froon, and they traveled from the Netherlands to Panama to volunteer at a local school there for 6 weeks together. But the trip had barely started. They had like a weird start. They were staying with the host family. And during their stay with the host family, the two Dutch women went hiking and they never made it home. So host mom says, see you later. They go on a hike and they just don't come back. And it really isn't until like the next day or the day after that anybody starts saying like, hey, what's going on? This is kind of odd, because they, you know, they were like young and traveling and doing all the things. So even now, no one is sure about what happened. There's tons of speculative theories. There are like photos from a camera that are really odd. When they found clothes, they were like perfectly folded. It felt very like Lost to me. Like it's like something weird happened. They sort of kind of concluded that they got lost in the woods, and the photos document kind of their journey of being lost in the woods. Like maybe they used the flash as like a camera or to scare animals away. Another one that has a lot of really interesting and creepy pieces parts, but you know, we be speculating. So that I would love to hear anybody else's thoughts. That was maybe one of the best ones that we've covered thus far for me, you know.
I will never be a host parent because of that case. Now I'm just like, you know what? We just definitely cannot, or not for high school age children. They weren't high school age.
No.
They were 22, 21. It was an international program. Still, no.
Yeah, but still babies. That's
exactly
babies.
The last murder that we're going to cover today, honestly, is probably the one that fucks me up the most personally. I feel like it aligns very much with how, not that my husband's going to murder me, but this is how I live my life. And so it just is, it like hits closer to home right now.
Sure.
In the stage of life that
yeah.
I'm in, right? Okay. And it's the murder of Alice Gaston. So Noah was the husband. He was sentenced to prison for straight up murdering his wife while their three kids, aged 2, 8, and 9, were in the same home. So it was January 2016. The Gaston family was struggling. Noah had left his job as a chef and was struggling to find another one. Money was tight. That makes people grumpy. Apparently, he was like extra, extra grumpy, like murdering.
Seriously,
grumpy.
Murder someone.
Yeah, straight up homicidal. So on January 14th, he calls 911 and it is 6:17 in the morning. He tells the dispatcher, I just shot my wife in the stomach. The big controversy of this story isn't that shot his wife, even though like, yeah, wow, why aren't we talking more about that? But it's that his story changed. He told them he shot her at the top of the stairs. Then he also stated that she was at the bottom of the stairs when he shot her. He also told the police that the two were not fighting that morning or the night before. The daughter said that they were. So it's very, like I said, it feels like it hits harder to home because like their little kids were, we also just covered one where the little kids were inside.
Yeah. Anytime there's children involved, it just makes me so sad because, I mean, number one, I don't know that Noah ever came out and said like, yeah, I did it. Like, I'm fully confessing to this happening. But what if that was your, like, 9-year-old? My 9-year-old
now,
was as tall as me. Like, what if that, like, what if they thought, what if you made a mistake? Not that you should be shooting your wife, but what if it was one of your kids? Or what if one of your kids was with her because they went downstairs to get a drink? Like,
I would have never even thought of the possibility. But, yes, my 9-year-old niece is not as tall as I am,
but from the top of the steps in the dark,
getting pretty close.
Maybe.
She's getting pretty close. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so frightening. So for you, Amy, which one? Not which one's the worst, but like, I think it's Eric Cross and Alice Gaston for me because, I mean,
the hauntiest for you.
Mom life. Yeah, mom life, mom things. I'm up early in the morning, so I would find my kids dead in the driveway and I would be shot at the top of the stairs. Okay, that's probably why, personally, those two.
All right, well, you're like, I need to rethink my life choices. This isn't going as well as I want.
No, just because that's the schedule I keep.
yeah, for sure. I think
just
for
like
me,
when I hear, oh, a runner early in the morning, I'm like, fuck. Fuck me. Not that I run early in the morning. Right, and that's why. Maybe that's why I don't wake up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You could be doing that. I think for me, it's the Lisanne and Chris Kremer's case. Purely because of the evidence, and there's a lot of evidence that didn't get shown because the families requested to keep it private, but of course some pictures still got leaked, which I love, like, please protect their peace and whatnot, but
yes.
I think there was a lot more that we didn't
say
get to see.
That you love the leaked photos, and I was like, wait.
And I love a good leaked photo. I love a good
leaked photo. I love a good leaked nude, you know, illegal pornography, stuff to get you arrested over. I love
black market photos. No big deal.
Loves. I actually need a kidney, so we're looking for one of those two friends. Hit me up, Craigslist.
This has now become the dark web podcast, and we're only going to talk about weird stuff. But I really think that that case... Because they were alive for a while, and there was never another person in the picture. So I don't know if they came across somebody. I don't know. It's a speculator for me, and I love those. And then the same of Jeremy and Aaron, because why? Are they related? Are they not related? But, like, there was something weird with the desk chair from Aaron's room was taken.
Oh, yeah, his roommate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't have a desk chair, and then his roommate, like, took his furniture.
Yes. Which, like, why? Like, what? I mean, first of all, because I guess you need furniture, but also, this is an investigation, and you're just, like, stealing people's shit.
Didn't
like,
he die? Well, he went missing from that place, too.
He was last seen at his house, so either
at least he didn't die in there. Did you see the Chris Watts' family home just went on sale, that somebody had previously and da da da, and they don't have to disclose it. So,
yeah, because it's been like, it's, you only have to disclose it when you're the last person, right?
And in some states, and then in some states, you don't have to disclose it at all.
I don't like that.
So I think it's in a state that you don't have to disclose it at all. But yeah, look it up. Chris Watts' house is now
for sale.
For sale.
Would you live in a house that somebody had been murdered in?
No. No. And if I found out, I would want to move. But also it depends, like, maybe if it's one of those houses in New Orleans.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina, you know, maybe.
Like an old, yeah, like maybe old-timey ghosts.
Uh-huh, like a chateau in France.
Okay. I don't know that I have the allowance to move into a chateau in France.
Oh, me either. We're just, this is all for jokes, strokes, giggles, giggles.
I think I could. I don't know. I think it would be hard. I'm fairly certain there's a ghost in my parents' house. But also, I don't know if it's just... if I'm concerned about the supernaturally part of it, or am I concerned about the juju? Like, what was that case we covered? The Thanksgiving case with the family, and he, like, chopped them all to bits.
Yeah, Joe Guy.
Yes, or Joel. Guys. Joel Guy. Because, like, that house, no thank you. I don't know that I could live in that. Like, there's just body parts everywhere. I mean, obviously they cleaned it up, but, like, it's just, yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, so, that's different than if you're, like, grandma just died upstairs.
Right, exactly. That's true. I don't know. Well, my next house, I'll let you know if there's somebody murdered. I'm gonna die in this house, so we're not moving.
I'm excited to see what the next roundup brings us. I always like to see episodes people like the most, and we know that by listening. So listen, send your friends to us,
send us
your friends.
Send us some suggestions too. Ooh, we've had yes. some good suggestions popping up lately, and I love that. So please send them our way. We will link all of the links to each individual episode in the show notes for you. So please, if you haven't listened to the 5 episodes mentioned here, maybe that's a good place to start. We hope you enjoyed this roundup, and we will see you again in 7 days with another true crime case. In the meantime, get some sunshine, drink some water, and for the love of all that's holy, eat your protein. Goodbye.
Bye.